Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning, and welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Well, good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
I'm doing well at the end, the close of this 2014. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'd like to thank the listeners for tuning in. And today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about structuring resolutions to get the best results for your efforts. So taking those small steps can lead to a journey of 1,000 miles. The physics of resolutions is a body in motion requires less energy to keep in motion than a body at rest requires to put in motion. We'll discuss ways of avoiding idle promises and unrealistic expectations. Swami will explain why one would want to use a star as an anchor for an intention. So, Swami, let's first talk about what do you mean by structuring resolutions to get the best results? What does that look like?
Well, I think the best result that you can possibly get is the whole thing of aligning personal desire with the betterment of a greater whole. You know, the whole thing of having a sense of dharma or purpose. One of the things that comes with this apotheosis, with this positive growth of consciousness, is a sense of connectedness to a greater whole. So that you're not preoccupied or consumed by, you know, your personal desires, so to speak. That most of your efforts would be more in alignment with this collective purpose.
So that sounds like a far cry from the normal resolutions that people would write down, you know, I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week or I'm going to cut down on my coffee intake and do decaf instead of regular coffee or whatever it might be. So if somebody puts on a resolution that they want to go to the gym 3 times a week, how does that miss the mark?
Well, again, missing the mark is a pretty interesting concept because it all comes down to, you know, what energy field we draw from. You know, there's like one of the things that we talk about, there's worldly happiness, there's intellectual happiness, there's eternal happiness. So whatever it is that we draw from is really going to determine our level of consciousness, our degree of awareness. And so if you are drawing from the physical world, then most of your intentions or most of your resolutions would be very limited to, you know, personal interest. And not that there's anything negative about that, because I think, you know, taking care of yourself physically oftentimes can create an opportunity for you to start to see that maybe there is something beyond the body. And hopefully at some point, you know, start to develop some sort of sense of curiosity about what, you know, we'll refer to as a more expanded sense of self. And so, but, you know, we do have to overcome a lot of the forces that, you know, the body comes in with. So discipline becomes a really important part in, you know, personal development. You know, one of the things that we talk about is the development of the lower mind. You know, overcoming the instincts and the appetites of the body. You know, being able to make intelligent decisions as opposed to being reactive and emotional. And so again, a lot of it isn't going to be so much like the resolutions that you make or whether you keep them or not. The things that you really want to be looking at is what's motivating me. You know, what is the driving force? Because if it is all about I, me, mine, then of course, you know, your efforts will be minimized. But if you see that, you know, you're trying to do something and your sense of self is starting to expand beyond the limits of just your pain, pleasure, control dramas, you know, because you could go to the gym every day, but it could be compulsively. And there really isn't a whole lot of psychological and spiritual development that comes with compulsive behavior. You know, by the same token, I mean, you could do it, you know, intelligently and ambitiously, but there still isn't this sense of connectedness to a greater whole.
So if we use that same example, you know, like I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week. If my motivation is so that I can become thinner, you know, look younger, be thinner, whatever, we're still kind of caught up into the drawing from the wrong energy field. However, if I want to go to the gym because I am in the process of purifying my body, you know, to have strength and you know, and so forth, is my intention just as important as how I think?
I think it does. It is a big factor. You know, it's one of the things that, you know, makes the type of yoga that we teach so complicated. You know, because it is such an intricate science. It is such an exact science. And, you know, a miss is as good as a mile. You know, the whole thing is, you know, am I using what I really do need to produce the feeling that I'm happy is a very important distinction that you want to make. You know, because like you said, if you are going to the gym because you want to be more desirable and more attractive, you know, on a physical level, then you are drawing from, you know, particles or waves. And there's nothing intrinsically evil with it, but you're not growing psychologically and spiritually. Whereas, you know, the same activity, the same discipline done, you know, with this sense of connectedness to this greater whole can yield a much different return. And those distinctions are really hard to troubleshoot. You know, it's hard to really see a lot of times, you know, what is it that I am drawing from? And a lot of it doesn't, you don't really get to test this a lot of times. You know, the story I always use is the whole concept of, you know, when a blacksmith makes a sword or a knife, you know, there's a lot of cutting and shaping and polishing and tempering of steel. But the moment of truth really doesn't happen until what they call they ring it on the anvil, until they actually take that product, you know, and whack it on the anvil, because that's when you know if your efforts have been worthy. And a lot of times it's not really until, you know, where the outside world at some point will fail us, do we really know if we have the benefit of internal support, you know, and are we able to keep ourselves together as opposed to completely unravel and, you know, fall into the realms of crisis.
So it sounds like to me, I mean, I think people can go ahead and still make their resolutions, but they have to maybe look a little bit deeper and find what is motivating them to want to do those resolutions. Are they drawing from the physical world, the mental world, or the spiritual energies? I think that's what I'm getting. Because I think it's not a bad thing for people to do resolutions, but like you said earlier, there has to be a sense of discipline that goes along with it. If you're not disciplined to do these resolutions, then it's just lip service.
Well, it can be, you know, and the other thing is like we were saying, I mean, if you have a plan, you know, I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, they tell you in business, you know, if you are involved in athletics, if you play a musical instrument, you know, that everything has procedure. And if you have a plan, then, of course, you can take steps that are leading to something. Now, it doesn't really seem like we have much of a plan for how to approach life. And again, that's where I always say that's where the realms of our religions have failed. You know, like they don't really give us points of passage, rites of passage anymore. You know, we don't have the rituals, the ceremonies, the ordeals, the ascetic practices that were in place. And the other thing I think that's really a huge barrier is this quick fix mentality that we're kind of socialized with. Like we don't want to put the time in. And, you know, we want to shortcut everything. It's the law of diminishing return. You know, with 20% of anything, you can get an 80% result. So everybody signs up for the 20 and they get the 80, but to get the remaining 20% result, you need an additional 80% effort. And so paying attention to the details, especially when you're formatting and creating your life, one of the reasons why I think the labyrinth is such an incredible tool, you know, because it gives you a way of dispatching your efforts into all of the different departments of your life and understanding the relativity, that if there is a breakdown in any one of these departments, that it can literally undermine the return that you're trying to get on your efforts. You know, that this goal of total consciousness isn't something that can be shortcutted. You know, I mean, it really is. It's an all-or-nothing venture, and all your ducks have to be in order. And a lot of people, you know, I mean, we're kind of socialized with this mentality that, you know, everything is good. You know, everything is good if it can get you, you know, to this experience. Mm-hmm. Mostly, you know, most of the things that we are putting our efforts into aren't leading us to this goal. Mm-hmm. So again, having a plan, I think, would be really helpful.
What I like to do, you know, when we close out a year is kind of look back through the year and see, you know, did I meet any of my goals and objectives for the year? You know, kind of what happened, you know, what happened in my life, you know, during the last course of the year. Now, how could we turn that around? How could we make that exercise work for us in relationship to Kriya Yoga? Like, would we use the, you know, the five things that we talk about, how we think, how we breathe, how we drink, how we eat, how we exercise, can we use those as like a benchmark? And then if we did, how would we measure our success in relationship to those, as well as anything else that had to do with the Kriya Yoga practice?
Well, I always like to build from strength. I always focus on the things that I did do. And, you know, I mean, I recognize and I acknowledge things that I haven't done. But I really try and focus on the simple fact that, you know, I did this. You know, because like we said in the introduction to the show, that, you know, a body in motion requires a whole lot less energy to keep in motion than the body at rest requires to put in motion. That once you are moving forward with your life, the whole thing that you want to do is you want to generate momentum. You want to start, you know, to get more movement. You know, I mean, the faster, the more momentum you have, the more power you generate. And so a big part of keeping your life on course is momentum. So focusing on what you are doing, I think, you know, keeps that that forward motion.
Well, I think it's about time that we take a pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So, listeners, we will be back with you shortly.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos, a cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos, a practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of this is a lot of things together.
Kriya Yoga mantra and meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Pray on prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back to the universe.
Private session. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303
or www.iptransform.com.
Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, in our description, I had said that you would explain why we would want to use a star as an anchor for an intention. So can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, wishes are a way of asking for what we want. And stars are relatively fixed points which can become an anchor to a wish that thought is an energy capable of producing effects, but it's all measurable based on the amount of strength we emit them with. It's our beliefs that really give our thoughts the power of intention. So oftentimes, a lot of us, that's basically what we're looking for, is we're looking for something to believe in. And so the whole concept of a star, you know, stars to me, they are symbols of the light of the world. You know, and of course, everything that we're doing in Kriya Yoga is all about getting this light in your soul. You know, because when there's light in the soul, there's beauty in the person. But the fixed stars, they're kind of one of these things that can give us a constant, you know, something that symbolizes the unchanging part of reality, you know, the void, the nothing. And so that's one of the things that we should turn to for this concept of belief. You know, that belief in the Kriya Yoga model isn't something we do, it's actually something we get as a result of our sense of connectedness to this life force. And of course, you know, it's that belief that then gives us the power to ask for what we want.
Would the words wish and belief and manifestation all kind of relate to the same thing?
Well, I think they can, you know. I mean, it's all a matter of, you know, how you apply it. But if you think about it, you know, I wish, I believe, you know, I mean, those are words that I think are usually used in similar contexts. And, you know, one of the things that we always say in our Kriya Yoga classes, you know, that if you stand in fear, you stand to lose. You know, that if you are drawing from fear and limitation and you emit a thought, it will have the burden of doubt. And so as a result, oftentimes it just dribbles off. Then, of course, most of us are really content with the whole concept of a placebo effect, you know, where we try and somehow unconsciously get this belief so we can somehow give ourselves permission to ask for what we want. And in the Kriya Yoga model, I mean, what we're basically doing is we're literally, you know, rebirthing our bodies in this life force. And with this internal support, with this internal connection, comes a tremendous amount of confidence. And from that platform, then, of course, you know, the whole key is then to be able to ask for what you want. And to be able to ask for that in the language that the universe understands. You know, that's also an important thing. You know, maybe we could talk a little bit about that next week in our show. You know, the whole thing of resolutions and affirmations and how to work with the imagery. You know, but if you don't believe that you're good enough, then of course, you know, I mean, now you've got a big barrier to being able to ask for what you want. But if you believe that you're good enough because you're connected to something that's pure, powerful, and sacred, and it's unchanging, it's not going anywhere, then of course now the next part of the equation is learning how to ask for what you want.
Now, I was just thinking, I was going to ask you a couple of questions, and the first question is come midnight tonight, what are you going to celebrate? Are you going to celebrate the closing of this past year or the newness of this coming year? And instinctually, I think you're going to say you're going to celebrate your next breath, but then I also want to ask you some other questions regarding your answer as well.
Well, to answer your question, I mean, I think I'll celebrate both. You know, I mean, it's ringing out the old and bringing in the new, you know. And so one of the things that I do on a regular basis, you know, just like I do on a daily basis, is I examine, you know, like what were my accomplishments, what, given the opportunity, what would I have done differently? You know, because those are the things that I think that are really valuable, is constantly refreshing your life with your creativity and your imagination. You know, always turning to endless possibilities and using, you know, that type of, I want to say format, you know, where you look at your accomplishments and if you are, you know, happy with them or maybe not quite so, you know, thrilled with what you did, you know, now you can, what would I do differently? Effect changes. It's one of the things we talk about. Insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different return. You know, whereas if you are looking forward to, you know, this coming year and you have some plans and, you know, I mean, you also have your past history and you're now want to implement some changes in how you go about things. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's constantly refreshing every moment, you know, every day. But then this, the year is a bigger cycle than the day or the breath cycle. You know, it's the small and the simple explains the large and the complex. If you're consistently refreshing every moment of your day, then, you know, by the end of the day, you know, it's easy to refresh that. And if you're accustomed to doing that on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, the annual event becomes just routine. You know, it's just more of the same. It's like when you're in school and you're doing your homework. You know, I mean, tests aren't a big thing.
Yeah, that was a great explanation. Is there anything astrologically going on? You know, does that have anything to do with the end of our year for people to try to draw upon? Or I know we just had our winter solstice a week or so ago. Is there anything happening that we need to know about?
Well, I think one of the big things for this year is that it is going to come in with the Sun conjunct Pluto, you know, which again, the whole thing of self-expression in connection with the whole principle of transformation, you know, and the ramifications of that could be enormous, you know, because Pluto is the god of the underworld. You know, I mean, and so it is, you know, a whole interesting thing when the incentive to express the spirit is now in alignment with power of, you know, death and rebirth, renewal. And it's in Capricorn, you know, which is the sign of manifestation. You know, so the whole thing of being able, and then the other thing I notice is Mercury is going to be conjunct Venus, you know, again, asking for what we want. You know, again, in Capricorn, manifesting things that we may want. But also, you know, again, being having a sense of transcending personal desire. You know, not getting all bound up in the pain, pleasure, control dramas of our bodies. You know, and again, Mars is in Aquarius, which is in the sign of the other. You know, and so, being able to maybe see a sense of purpose for this incarnation could be a possibility for this New Year's Eve.
Well, thank you for that. It seems to kind of correlate with everything that we've been talking about. So I guess we need to start thinking about closing down our program for today. So I would like to invite the listeners out there to visit our website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook. Also available to your listeners are the online classes that you can access through the website www.ipdtransform.com. You can just click on the link for the online classes and it will direct you to PowHow and you can make your selection from there. But keep those comments and questions and curiosities coming because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. But be sure to tune into our program next week. We'll be discussing resolutions and Dharma. So any final thoughts or comments, Swami, about our program today or what we're going to talk about next week?
Well, I, you know, just to continue on the astrology thing, I noticed that Saturn is now 0 degrees Sagittarius, you know, the whole thing of in the sign of a higher mind or higher learning and being able to maybe start to put into form, you know, your personal development for this year. And again, I would like to wish everybody a happy and healthy new year and also invite people to join our spiritual advance, you know, and try some of our classes and our programs and maybe start to see some of the benefits that come with these practices that we're offering. Mm-hmm. And with that, I would wish everybody a good day and namaste, and I'll give it back to you.
Thank you, Swami. So I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. We're wishing you a most wonderful, happy new year. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.